Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
You know, my favorite thing about the movie is, like, it feels like a movie.
Welcome to a special review episode of What the Fuck is Happening, the podcast.
These special review episodes are my favorite because we get to talk shit.
That's a lie. Two out of the three that we've got released, two out of the two, really, have been positive.
I didn't
and
mean
then
talk.
The Black Adam one. You guys hilarious. Talk shit, but that was in the end of the normal episode.
I mean, I didn't necessarily think talk shit as in talk bad about movies. I more meant talk shit as in we're saying absolute bullshit, just pulling shit from our asses.
Opinions we have no right having.
Exactly,
I mean.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly. Gotcha. My favorite opinion to have.
Well, that's all your opinion.
Mean but accurate.
Okay, so yes, today we are reviewing the 2022 film
Bones and all.
Which when you say it in an Australian accent, this podcast is just me making fun of Australian accents. When you say bones and all in an Australian accent, it's kind of hard to like...
Bones and all?
Yeah, like it's kind of... And, well, I was... Because I was telling my I was telling someone that we were seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, they were like, what's it called? And I was like, bones and all.
Mm.
And they were like, bones and all? What's bones and all? And I was like, no, bones and
all.
Bones and all.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, because the American accent has like a hard D and...
It does. And I also think they'd speak slower than we do. Australians just fucking like 1,000 miles a minute.
Yeah, like 1,000 miles a minute.
Exactly. Mark. Anyway, so
this
as
is a,
always...
This is a spoiler.
Spoilers.
This is a spoiler episode. Without you, I made the decisions on spoilers in these episodes, these review episodes. So if the movie is within a week of release or has... Yeah, within a week of release, we'll spoil it. If, for example, the movie doesn't come out for another month when we've seen it, then no spoilers.
Okay.
I'm mostly saying this because I plan on reviewing Glass Onion and Knives Out Mystery next week, but it doesn't come out for another month on Netflix.
I feel like we can just do the review and then release it in a couple of weeks.
No, I think we do a non-spoiler.
No, I disagree, but we'll talk about this afterwards.
No,
we'll do
a light spoiler, meaning no major plot twists or anything, review of Glass Onion, and then we can talk spoilers on the pod when the movie comes out on Netflix.
I don't know how I feel about that, but
you don't have a choice. That's what we're doing, because we need to have it out a month
this
before.
Is a 50,
because the further...
50... This is a democracy, Nicholas. There
no.
are two
what's
hosts
the, what's
here.
The podcast name of last week's episode?
This pod is not a democracy. Ha!
Correct.
But it is, so...
Whether you remember it or not, it was still a gotcha moment. No, and then because the further out from release you put the review out, the more interest it has to view it, to, like, audiences.
Okay. I understand, but I don't like doing
not-spoiler
reviews because how am I supposed to talk
all,
about everything?
Bones and all? I don't... Bones and all.
Okay, anyway, yes, bones and all. We're
comes
talking about it.
This Thursday in Australia, this review is going up the day before release.
Lucky hoes.
Not because we're on any press lists.
Or are
because
we?
Because I won tickets to a pre-screening.
Nicholas always wins tickets to pre-screenings, though, so we basically are on a press list.
You can tell we're reviewing this at 9:10 p.m. because she just said Nicholas wins reviews of this. Nicholas
Did
wins
really?
Tickets to reviews of this.
Did I really say that?
Something like that.
Wow, okay, well, instant playback would be good. Anyway, moving on.
So we are getting it out a day before.
Anyway.
Hence, within the week, hence,
oh my
spoilers.
God, Nicholas!
What? I'm saying.
No one cares.
Yes, they do. I'm saying there's spoilers because
oh,
that,
yeah, there's spoilers.
Because on Thursday you can go and see it.
So, Bones and All.
A
movie.
Starring Taylor Russell, Timothée Chalamet.
Would you really say it was, oh wait, oh okay.
And Mark Rylance.
Was that the dude?
That's the old guy. Mm-hmm. So that's...
Oof.
Who it's starring. It's directed by Luca Guadagnino.
We did look it up on pronouncenames.com
directly before Guadagnino. This.
Guadagnino.
Right? Yeah.
Guadagnino.
Written by David Kajanovich. Fuck, I should have looked up that name too. Anyway, it's based on the novel Bones and All by Camille DeAngelis. So Luca Guadagnino is the director of movies like...
I had no idea.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't remember Call Me By Your Name?
Did you do that? Iconic!
Suspiria? Did you watch the Suspiria remake?
No, I didn't.
It was good. I really liked it. Anyway.
I haven't seen the original either.
I've seen both. Whack. And they're both good. I'm surprised you haven't seen the remake because it stars Dakota Johnson, who we love.
I do love her, but no.
Anyway, so what is the plot of the movie? Do you want me to say?
There wasn't really one.
Yes, there was. It's basically a coming-of-age story that just happens to be about cannibals. And the actual narrative...
Yeah.
Well, okay, the plot is about the character, Taylor Russell's character, whose name is Marin.
Marin, yeah.
Basically just trying to find her mother because her dad abandons her for being a cannibal.
Fair.
So she tries, she's on a cross-country road trip who she meets some interesting characters along the way and it's basically all to find her mother. The narrative, so that's the plot, the narrative of the film is a coming-of-age story.
Yes.
About coming-of-age but also...
Morality.
Morality and Marin... Marin's, I guess.
Is it Marin or Marin? I think it was Marin, personally.
Oh, I just know I like the singer Marin Morris.
Well, so. I don't think you should be inaccurate for the podcast, Nicholas.
It's Marin, M-A-R-E-N.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, so the narrative is that it's a coming-of-age movie, and it's about general coming-of-age stuff like young love, but what happens when you introduce things like morality and...
killing people. If it sounds like there's not really a plot, that's because there wasn't.
No, it's very much a slice of life, a slice of life character piece.
Yeah. So right off the bat, I personally...
Well, wait, okay.
Oh, my God.
For context, I can tell Maddie didn't like it at all.
No.
I enjoyed it.
So it was a well-made movie.
Off the bat... To gauge interest so that we can move forward in this conversation, I would rate it a 7 or 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd give it – I'd 7, maybe a 6.5.
What?
It was very well made. There were strong characters. It was very well written. It was very well directed. It was fucking fantastically acted. I just personally was extremely, A, disturbed, but also, B, found it so boring.
Okay, so to reword, to mansplain and reword what you've just said, you're saying that you didn't like the movie itself.
No.
But you respect, appreciate, and enjoyed the fact that it made you feel the things it was meant to make you feel. It was meant to make you feel disgusted.
I mean, I don't really care about the feeling things. I just respect the fact that they've obviously, like, it was very well done.
But you were like, it...
Yeah.
I felt disgusted, sure. Disturbed. Yeah. That's what it was meant to do.
That's good. So good on them, I guess. That's not why I liked it, but good on them.
But you didn't like it.
No, okay. That's not why I think it's a good movie, mm-hmm. But yeah.
Interesting. Mm. I don't know where to start.
Me either.
Let's just start with complaints.
I'll start by saying that if Timothy Shalamalam wasn't in it, I would have given it a 3.
Interesting.
Because it was so boring.
Oh, did you think it was boring?
I thought it was so boring. That's why I asked you how long it was, because it's been an hour already. Like, I'm ready to wrap this baby up. Nothing is happening. So,
for context, it's 2 hours and 9 minutes long.
And it fucking felt like it.
I would disagree.
Really?
I personally felt like it was pretty consistently engaging for me. I guess I'm... In the words of Carly Rae Jepsen, you need to surrender your heart. Because I was more open to feeling those emotions.
That's really fair.
Getting swept away by the young love despite the circumstances kind of thing.
That's really fair. I would probably like to say that I personally these days have an extremely short attention span.
Yeah.
And I really only watch films or TV shows these days just to be entertained. I don't really want to feel stuff. I'm like, oh, I just Just give it to me straight. Just fucking throw it in my face and then I'll be done with it. And I think that's just because I'm so overwhelmed in my... I know, right? It's because I'm so overwhelmed in my other life that I'm like, I don't want to deal with that. So I will say that absolutely me not liking it because it was boring is very much a personal thing, and which is why I can say I know that it was a well-made film. I just like, from my perspective of someone who just wants it to be exciting all the time, it's not a movie for me.
Interesting. I personally wasn't bored.
Exactly.
I was very engaged the whole time. And I actually thought that was probably one of the stronger points, is that it was consistent throughout the entire film.
It was consistent.
I guess structurally it never dipped for me.
I would agree.
Each scene was important as the next.
Yes, I would agree with that.
As important?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It wasn't exciting for me, but it was like towards the end of the film, in the last half an hour, I was like, oh my God, I really need to wee, but I'm not going to leave because everything that happens is like important for the story.
Right. And I do agree it was too long. They should have worked it down a bit. But it's one of those ones where I'm like, I don't really know what I'd remove.
Yeah.
Maybe some shit in the middle. The only time that I thought it dragged was the ending.
Yeah.
But then there was a reason for that, to build tension and to build suspense, give the characters everything they want so that you can take it away kind of thing.
Oof. It fucking did.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we'll probably get into. But,
So is that a...
I feel like we need some criteria for our reviews. Maybe, like, acting.
No, I don't think structure. So. We're just going how we feel.
Well, I just... Okay. So the acting, though, was...
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. You started saying phenomenal, I started saying fantastic, so we got to phenomenal.
And it was phenomenal.
I'm happy for phenomenals.
It was really, every single person was amazing. Although I will say, I think a standout was the old guy.
Yeah, Mark Rylance.
I was so
disturbed
every single second that he was on the screen. I know. He fucking never let up. And frankly, how creepy he was.
The nuance in his acting.
Oh yeah.
I know it sounds pretentious. I'm self-aware. The nuance in his acting, though. it was
very impressive.
He made you feel terrified.
Oh my God.
He made you feel sympathy.
Oh yeah.
And he made you feel a little bit amused every time he talked.
Right until the end. His performance in this movie is probably one of the best performances I've seen all year in any movie.
Yeah.
It was like, and because it was so convincing, like if I met that man in real life, I'd be like, stay away from me.
Yeah.
Because like, it was so convincing that you're like, is this a real person? You're like, yeah. I know that's a really weird sentence to say, but yeah.
Yeah. So
it was, wow.
As a character, or I guess characters, so because it's a road trip kind of movie, it's very much what types of people and characters Maren meets along the way of her journey to whatever, her final self. So that includes Mark Rylance's creepy character and Timothy Shamamalama's character, you know, her mom, her grandma, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
And everyone did phenomenal.
They did. Everyone did do a fucking fantastic job.
Yes.
There was no losers.
Did you say losers?
Yeah.
Iconic. What was I going to say, though? I was going to say, because of the type of film it is, I could understand people feeling as though some of the scenes were disconnected, I guess.
What do you mean? What scenes?
Well,
this is a spoiler film, so go deep.
I feel like we can't really do spoilers unless we actually talk about the plot, and we haven't done that yet. So should we?
Okay, fine. Go. Do it.
Generally speaking.
There wasn't really generally, much.
Plot-wise, she goes off on this, Taylor Russell's character, Maren, sneaks out in the middle of the night to go to a sleepover.
Scene. Yep.
This is the opening. And at the sleepover,
she eats someone's finger. She high-key
lets her intrusive thoughts win.
Yeah, she does.
And she just... like a rib on a bone.
Yeah, like
sucks the skin off a finger.
It's
kind of iconic. And then she comes home covered in blood.
Set
and
the tone.
Well, because as a viewer, you're like, oh shit, what the fuck, why?
Yeah.
And then she goes home and she's knocking on the door and her dad is like, oh, fuck, it's happened again. And you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is like a thing.
Yes.
So then basically they have to escape the town to like pre-avoid police. And it's very, very clear that this is not the first time they've done it, that they've had to do it many times before.
Then her dad abandons her.
Well, that's the thing that kicks off, is that her dad abandons her because he can't deal with
the cannibalism.
The cannibalism and the running and all that stuff. And he says, he leaves a tape recording where he's recorded a message and her birth certificate, which includes information about her mother, which is what kicks off the entire film about her going cross country to find her mom.
Basically. So she goes on a road trip. She meets the creepy dude. He teaches her how smell other people.
This is the actual thing I wanted to, like, say to the audience so that we could talk about it without, like, sounding insane.
Okay.
So keep going.
Oh, he teaches her how to, like, smell, like, other cannibals, basically, how to find out who they are. But also, as well, he's kind of teaching her how to, like, smell when someone's about to die because he's, like, the only people I eat are people who are about to die.
So he goes town to town sniffing out people who are about to die and then waits for them to die, eats them.
In his underwear. It's disgusting.
Cuts off some of their hair and
Has like a trophy braid. Yeah.
And then moves along. Mm-hmm. And he's a very creepy person.
He's so fucking creepy.
She escapes.
Yes.
And then next she meets Timothy Chalamet's character and so on. And then all this stuff happens.
And then she and Timothy then stick together. They go on journeys together. They meet other cannibals along the way. And then it ends with, I mean, nothing else really kind of happens there aside from more character stuff on their journey.
She
does come to her, the mum. She does get to the mum in the end. The mum is a cannibal as well.
Well, it's not even the end. I would say it's the
end
of the second act.
Yeah, it is actually in the middle of the film.
She finds her mum.
Yeah.
And that kicks off
the final act.
The final act, which is them breaking up and then coming back together kind of thing.
Yeah, well, because Maren kind of decides that she doesn't want to kill people anymore. And then I don't really know why she ends up going back to Timothy, though. Is that just because she gets lonely? I don't know. Anyway, and then it finishes with the creepy guy finding her again.
Well, no, that's not. It's not that simple. It's
yes, it's
Timothy Chalamet's character Lee and Maren find each other again.
Uh-huh.
And they have.
Oh, that's true. They decide to live a normal life.
They decide to live a normal life and be happy. And they.
Yes.
It flashes forward how long?
Only like a month.
Only like a month. It happens over 3 months.
Yeah. I think it started in May when her dad abandoned her and it finishes in August.
Right. So, like I said,
4 months.
And they're living a happy life, their dream life. They've got a nice apartment. Maren has a job.
They're trying not to eat people.
Well, that we know of. But anyway, so they've got life. And you're watching it and you're like, nice, it's about to end. And then it doesn't end. And you're like, oh.
Horrific.
There's still something fucked up that's going to happen. And the tension builds. And then
the creepy guy finds them. He tries to, I don't even know what he tries to do with Maren. Like, I think he just kind of wants to be with her.
Yeah.
It kind of like, they kind of make it seem like he's going to rape her. They kind of make it seem like he's going to eat her. You're not really sure what's going to happen.
It was, the nuance in Mark Rylance's acting. It was, is he going to assault her? Is he going to eat her?
Yeah.
Is he going to just be with her and hold her there and sleep?
Yeah.
Like, what?
What is going on?
It was terrifying.
It was terrifying.
Truly, like, high
horrific.
Tension.
Yeah, it was high tension. Timothy walks in. They kill Mark, whatever his name is, but in the process he stabs Timothy and it finishes with Timothy. What was his character's name?
Lee.
It finishes with Lee dying and telling Maren to eat him, which is basically like the final shot of the film is her giving in to the temptation and eating him.
Yeah.
And then that's how it ends. So now we've gone over the plot.
And I think, I won't lie, this film has a lot going on and I don't think I'm going to fully be able to process all of the meanings and all of the morals until I've seen it again or I've read like an in-depth piece about it.
Mm.
But it very much felt like throughout the film, Lee's character, Timothy Chalamet's character, was the fully realized cannibal who was at peace with having to kill people.
Yeah.
To eat and to
well, I think had come to peace with it before he met Maren, and correct. I think meeting her and her, like her, the way that she was so disturbed by it all actually threw him right back into the being disturbed by who he is and what he does kind of thing.
I would probably disagree a little bit. I think he, like, in his like minor sociopathic
that's
personality, he was like, I want to train her to become me.
Yeah, yeah, that's
which is
fair.
Why when like he kills the gay guy and all this stuff, oof. It's very, and that's why they end up fighting, because she finds her mother and she's like, I don't fucking want this. I want to be normal.
Yeah,
I wish I died and all this stuff. And he's like, just accept it and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and that's why they break up in the first place.
Yes,
they
that's
come back
true.
Together, and he basically agrees to live by her rules and to become her in being a good person, normal, moral, and all that stuff. And then the final 5 minutes of the movie is essentially about reversing that and her becoming him and accepting the monster she is and eating him. And it literally took her losing everything and also, like, her lover dying to, like, come to terms with that kind of thing.
Interesting.
Because she both killed someone. Ripped out his heart or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she ate the body of her lover. And Harry, I think that's why he found...
way more in this movie than I
did. Well, I think that's also why he found so much glee in his final moment. Like, Timothée Chalamet is being eaten alive and he's crying, but then it's intercut with shots of him laughing as she's doing it and smiling.
Yeah, I thought that was screaming.
I saw glee.
That's
fair. And I kind of feel like it was, in my head, him kind of also being like, I'm dying, but I'm cool with it because it means that Maren is becoming who she should be.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Interesting.
And the next shot, like, then, like, intercuts with shots of, like, the empty apartment stuff. So it's kind of assumed that she cleans it all up and escapes and just continues doing what she's doing.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it.
Interesting. Very interesting.
As kind of like a big ol'... the whole thing was just for a way for her to come to terms with who she is kind of thing. There were multiple other pieces of world building that I was like, this is becoming a Marvel movie if they were, like, disturbing and indie. Because, like, for example, the cannibalism is genetic.
Yeah.
So her mum was a cannibal.
His dad was a cannibal.
And everything. And you find out, that everyone who's a cannibal, their parents are cannibals. One of their parents.
That's the case with the two of them.
They inherit it.
Yes.
I thought it was also said by someone else.
No, I don't think so. I don't know if it was said by those middle guys, but the one who's, like, not a cannibal but still is eating people. Yes. So it was, like, supposed to be this inherited genetic thing that they couldn't help. It was, like, a physical, like, compulsion to eat people that they – and they knew it was morally wrong, but they were like, I can't not eat someone because
like
the longer –
it was a survival thing.
It was, like, the longer you go without eating them, the more they kind of said that the compulsion becomes stronger, and so then you do something you don't want to do, like maybe murder someone
you love
or who doesn't deserve it or deserve.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And then the other piece of world building that I thought was fascinating was – the low-key superpower that they gain from eating flesh, which is the smelling.
Very interesting, yes.
So you learn pretty early on that cannibals, like Maddie said, can smell each other.
Yes.
To identify each other. They can also identify dead bodies and people that are dying. And throughout the film you realize that – oh, but you don't realize. You're shown that, for example – Mark Rylance's character, the evil, creepy guy, can quite literally smell, like, from city to city. Like, he can...
Yes.
He can... He's essentially tracked Maren's character across
country.
The entire country.
Yeah.
Just with his nose. So it's like...
Although
what an interesting piece of world building.
They did also make it quite clear that he was, like, more advanced than most other people in terms of that specific skill. But, like, obviously, like, everyone could still do it. They met multiple cannibals across the film and every single one of them. That's how they kind of identified each other, was being like, I could smell you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God, that's terrifying.
It's like, in this world, it's like a superpower. It was odd.
It was odd. And the other thing that I thought was very interesting in terms of, like, world building is that all of them kind of said, oh, we don't meet a lot of other cannibals. However, all of them kind of had the same sets of, like, rules, and there was almost this like society.
There's so, an underground society.
Yeah, yeah. America. So it's kind of like, A, they try not to eat other cannibals.
Yeah, it's like low-key urban fantasy.
Yeah, and like one of the other things that was that happened was they talked, that they met two guys in the middle, one of whom was a cannibal, the other of whom the cannibal was like teaching to be a cannibal. He didn't have the compulsion. He was just doing it for fun. And they also, they talked about the first time you eat a person completely, bones and all, and that being like a rite of passage for cannibals, kind of. So obviously there's also that as like a so yeah.
Another thing I found interesting about the film was that this is like, I don't know if this is, you would pick up on this at all, but sexuality kind of didn't seem to be a thing, like straight and gay shit. I feel like everyone was fluid sexually, and in this world that Luca Guadagnino built, it's just like, yes, there's an underground society of cannibals. There is no sexuality. Everyone's gay for each other. Everyone's pansexual.
Well, it almost was one of those things where it's kind of like, it's so far from the point that they're like, there's just no reason to address it. So not just the sexuality, but even they had an interracial relationship, and it was very clearly set in the 80s. And it's like, well, that would be quite frowned upon, particularly in those southern states. And they just never, there was no racism at any point. Yeah. So I think it was just one of those things where they were like, it just doesn't matter, so we're not going to address it, you know?
I guess I was trying to articulate that I love Luca Guadagnino's directing.
Oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
His willingness, I suppose, to remove it from reality in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm explaining that well, but if, no, like, if you think about Call Me By Your Name, even that has a level of surrealism to it, and it's saturated colors, and it's almost like a paradise, like heavenly, like visuals and shit. So I guess I don't know, he's telling this, although I guess like it's a story about cannibals who have super smell. Like, why shouldn't it be in a slightly fantastical kind of...
Well, I think it's almost one of those, I think it's like almost the true hallmark of something being normalized is they're just like, it just doesn't even need to be addressed, you know, as opposed to it's like, well, it doesn't need to be a key point. They don't need to talk about the sexuality or the interracial relationship because they're like, it that's not
the point.
It's not the point. So we don't need to talk about it. It's just there, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And, if you want to see Timothy Chalamet as a bisexual cannibal, this is the movie for you.
It really is.
Because I know a lot of people would see that, especially the scene where they kill a gay person.
Yeah.
Would see that and be like, oh, he was just pretending to be gay and just making up this guy to do that. But, like, I don't know if it's just because Timothy's a good actor and has such great charisma.
Yeah.
But I felt chemistry between them.
Yeah, it didn't
feel... And I didn't feel like it was...
Well, I think the thing was is that it was almost, again, because it was so far removed from the point, it wasn't – it didn't feel like he was preying on a gay person. It felt like he was using romance in order to kill someone.
As a tool.
Yeah.
And I also think I saw it as this kind of chemistry and not like a baiting hate crime.
Because
so for like the full context of the scene, he woos this guy at a carnival, takes him into the cornfield – and they basically start to have, you know, sexy times. Like, Timothy literally, like, finishes him off.
Yeah.
And then slits his throat. So in my head, that's the director and the screenwriter being like, there is attraction there.
Interesting.
And there's respect there.
Interesting.
He wanted him to go out on a high, which just so in this case happens to be...
Interesting.
Ejaculating everywhere.
See, for me, it felt like...
A release in a way.
Interesting. See, no, for me, the most that, like, what I took from that scene was actually that he picked that man specifically because he was a dick to that little kid beforehand. So to me, it more felt like, because you know how Timothy, in the store, the man that he killed, like, shouted at a woman. So he was like, cool, I'm going to eat him.
Yeah.
So that's what it felt like to me. It was like he just picked someone because he was a dick, and then they just kind of like naturally progressed. And then it got to the point of killing him.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, though. Is that like, yes.
Yeah.
But also the actual chemistry between them.
Yeah, yeah. That's
was
fair.
Very much there. And I also think the chemistry between at the very beginning of the
film. It wasn't forced.
No, it felt like
the relationship wasn't forced. They didn't just put Timothy in there as a,
At the beginning of the film, I also felt as though Taylor Russell's character, Maren, had like this weird sapphic high school crush relationship going on with the girl who sleepover she goes
to. Dude, I absolutely thought she was just going to kiss the girl and then she ate her finger.
And I think that was fucking iconic because she sticks her friend's finger in her mouth and you're like, oh, it is gay.
Yeah.
And then she like sucks all the meat off the bone.
Yeah, it was wild.
It's iconic and it's just another thing where I'm like, okay, this world is wild.
World is wild.
Yeah, there was like a lot of interesting shit in this.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
I personally felt as though it straddled the line between pretentious and a genuinely engaging story, like film. It straddled the line and was like the best of both worlds.
Mm.
I have a feeling you think it was just more pretentious.
No, I don't think it was pretentious because I actually think it was like well enough made that they did a good enough job. That it was kind of like, well, even if you do think you're pretentious, like you kind of, that's okay because you're right. Like you are good at what you've done. Like the movie you've made is really good. Yeah, like I can see, I'm like, that is very clearly should be an Oscar nom. It very clearly is one of those like award type of movies.
See, I wouldn't, apart from the performances, I probably wouldn't even say it's award bait. I kind of just think that's who Luca Guadagnino is as a director.
I don't think it was award bait, but it is like award worthy. So if you think about like all of the other types of movies that win awards, that's what this movie was.
Yeah. Well, specifically the acting, I would say.
I would say how he directed it as well.
The directing, fair, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the time something that award shows don't take into consideration is whether movies are good because they serve their purpose.
Yeah.
Or whether they're good because...
it's just pretentious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, like for this one, it's definitely pretentious. Categories. But for me, it accomplished everything it needed to.
Yes.
And everything it was going for. And it also made me feel each thing it wanted me to feel. It made me feel disgust. It made me feel... longing, it made me feel all of the things that it needed me to. So for that, I think it's a fantastic movie. Not for everyone.
Absolutely not for everyone. If you can't stand slow movies, if you don't like long movies, if you don't like gory movies, do not bother with this film, I would say.
Yeah, if you're cool with a character study, then you'll be into it.
You probably will be into it. Okay. Do you have anything else?
I don't know. I'm curious. I feel like, okay, we'll update our thoughts on the weekend when we record the next regular episode.
Okay.
Because I feel like this is one of those movies where I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be like, that was even more powerful than I thought last night. Or if I'm going to wake up and be like, that was even more pretentious than I thought last night.
I can guarantee that I'll never think about this movie again.
Interesting. I will.
This is like, I mean, aside from how disturbed I was by it, I'm no further thoughts. I would never see it again. I would never buy it. I would never encourage anyone else to go see it.
Really?
It just kind of exists for me.
I would.
Yeah.
I would think if you like.
I wouldn't say don't see it.
Well, okay, I wouldn't tell like casual moviegoers to see it.
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, I think I do agree that he should be probably nominated for director because he did manage to kind of use brutalism as...
He did a really good job.
He made, like, the most gory and brutal things, like, beautiful.
I don't know if I'd say beautiful, but
wouldn't?
No, but I would say that it... did it in a way that made it feel like it was serving a purpose. It didn't feel like it was superfluous to have two people graphically eating a man, you know? Like
it didn't overdo the gore.
No. Well, not even overdo it. I mean like it felt like it had a purpose. Every time they were eating someone, it felt like it had a purpose in the film. It didn't feel like it was just, oh, fuck, this is a cannibal movie, so here we are eating another person, you know?
Yeah.
It all had a meaning. It all had purpose.
Yeah, that's really fair. I think visually, the goriness and the brutality of it and the intensity made for a gorgeous film.
Mm. Well, I think it added to...
Visually.
I think what it did was really made you really understand the morally grayness of it all, because you have these two characters who you kind of like, and you're like, and they're falling in love and they're questioning the things that they're doing, and then you watch them eat someone and you're like, whoop, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Interesting.
Interesting.
I stand by a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 or 7.
My one thing that we're never going to be doing on these review episodes is giving anything a 0.5 or a 0.2. Strictly full numbers.
Okay.
I think it's a cop out.
All right.
I also think 10 out of 10, like a scale of 10 to 1 to 10 instead of 1 to 5.
I agree.
Because then I feel like if you absolutely loathe a movie and hate it and it's the worst thing you've ever seen, it feels more impactful to rate a movie 2.
A
2 out of 10 than a 1 out of 5, well, even though it means the same thing.
I totally agree, particularly when you start thinking about like 3 out of 5 as well. It's kind of like, well, 3 out of 5 probably means it was a pretty average movie, but a 5 out of 10 means it wasn't very good. Like, it
well, a 3 out of 5 is more like a 6.57 out of 10.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like that. It's not that high.
It feels wrong for me to rate things 1 to 5.
I totally agree. I'm glad we come to such a solid conclusion.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want to follow the pod.
You can at WTFIH podcast on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube. All the links are down below as usual.
Schmexy.
Thank
you very much for listening to this special episode.
Yeah, follow us too.
Oh.
If you're curious, I'm guessing because we said spoilers so much, you're only listening or watching this if you've seen it.
Yeah.
If you've made it all the way through and you haven't seen it, but you're intrigued, I would say see it. It's worth experiencing and just seeing how you react, because I think people are going to have different reactions to it. They're either going to be, you know, there were some people in the theater who were laughing at inappropriate moments, whether that was because they were uncomfortable or whether because they were not connecting to it and were not engaged, whatever. But I think I was in the engaged category. You were somewhere between.
Yeah, yeah. I would say if you're like me and you need something extremely engaging to keep your attention and to keep your interest and to not make you feel like you're wasting 2 hours of your time, this is not the movie for you.
Interesting.
I just kind of fall in between because I can recognize that in myself and know that that doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad movie.
Okay, well, maybe we should like rate things into two categories, like objectively and subjectively.
Okay.
Objectively, this was a well-made, good movie.
Yeah.
Subjectively, I still loved it. Subjectively, you were a little less keen.
Okay. Objectively, I would give this a 7 or 8. Subjectively, I'd give it like a 4.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a good way to rate things, maybe.
That's fair. Okay,
cool. I'd give a 7 out of both ways for me. Whack. With this one. What did we review last time?
I don't remember. Black Panther.
Black Panther.
That was a solid
high. Objectively, I'd give it an 8. Personally, subjectively, I'd give it a 9.
I would agree with that. I might even give it a 9, objectively.
Don't worry, darling. objectively, I feel like I want to backtrack. Don't worry, darling, objectively, 6. Subjectively, 7. Or 8. Because they could have... Fucking done. I'm still not over it.
I would probably agree with that. Although objectively, I might still give it a 7, just because again, I could see the potential in it. So I feel like it deserves a little bit more.
But then that would be subjective.
Yeah, I guess. Anyway,
reviewing it based on what we're presented with, and reviewing it versus what we feel about it. No,
that's fair. That's anyway. I guess. I suppose.
Are we going to be the first review site media reviewer that has a good rating system? I think so. Because then if viewers are like, as an audience member, I'm more into the subjective stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
The feeling stuff.
Yeah, that's fair.
Then they can go by that.
Well, it's almost like a critical review versus an audience review, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in one.
And I feel like
critical reviews
we're three-dimensional and enough to do both.
So fair. Okay. Thanks very much for listening to this special episode of What the Fuck Is Happening, the podcast.
Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.